Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. Thanks for checking out this podcast from Connecting Faith. You can hear the show live each weekday at noon Central Time, and there are many more podcasts for this and all our Faith Radio shows available online. Our web address is myfaithradio.com. And thanks for your gifts to this listener-supported ministry. Enjoy the podcast.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting Faith with Life.
For Connecting Faith. I'm Joe Rathmanner, and it is just a sunny Friday afternoon, and we are talking Father's Day today. We're going to talk about our dads. What do you think, Ryan?
I think it's an excellent idea. I agree.
It's a good subject, isn't it? We both are very fond of our dads. We've talked very often about what our dads have taught us. And so we thought it was fitting this Father's Day weekend to just kind of not talk about what we're going to do with Dad or do for Dad this weekend, like a big barbecue or maybe a golf game, a special gift. I happen to be working on a garage project for my husband with my boys. He's not listening, so I can say that.
I was going to say, you just kind of boldly went there, so no. This must not be secretive.
No, it is secretive, but he is not listening Okay. Because he's actually with my kids right now. So
understood.
Yes, so it will be a surprise. It's also a great time, though, to just talk about the influence that dads have had on their children. And today we're going to talk specifically about the influence that a dad has on his sons. And having two boys, one about to enter his teenage years, I've kind of watched how my sons have begun to take cues from their dad.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know if this is subconscious or conscious, but they are definitely moving to not taking cues as much from me, but taking cues from their dad.
Oh, I see.
So it's probably important at that point to have a dad who is cueing correctly.
That seems reasonable, yes.
So one of the things that my husband had read a couple of years ago is a book called Raising a Modern Day Knight, and also completed a men's Bible study series called Men's Fraternity, and both were written and completed by our guest for today, Robert Lewis. So very excited to have him on so he can share some of his wisdom and some of those things that my husband has been employing in his life to maybe give us some ideas as well, dads out there who are listening. So let me introduce you to him and we can get on with our show. Robert Lewis has been a pastor. He's a writer, speaker, and visionary for over 40 years. For 21 of those years, he served as directional leader of Fellowship Bible Study. Let's start that over. For 21 of those years, he served as directional leader of Fellowship Bible Church in Little Rock, Arkansas. And during that time, the church grew from several hundred members to over 5,000 and was widely recognized as being one of the most innovative and influential churches in America. Thus, he wrote another book called The Church of Irresistible Influence. And then the book we're going to talk about a little bit today, which is Raising a Modern Day Knight. Today, Robert is still very involved in local church ministry. He teaches and he also helps lead a group called SageWorks, a ministry that provides vision and serving opportunities to church members who are 55 and up. Robert and his wife, Sherrod, have been married for 41 years. They live in Little Rock, Arkansas. They have 4 grown children and 3 grandchildren. Welcome, Robert.
Thank you, Joe. Delighted to be with you today.
Well, absolutely. It's just great to have you here. And I did read your book, Raising a Modern Day Knight. Like I told you before, my husband just put it in my hands one day and said, all right, I need to start employing some of these things in our son's lives. So you need to read it so you can go along with me.
That's right.
So in the book, you kind of outline a father's role in helping his son see what it means to be a man. Why is this important?
Well, I think the most essential thing that a father does is give his son a masculine identity. And that is both taught and caught. And today, I think with the busyness of life and the pace that so many of us live with, it's easy for a dad, even the best dads, to not be able to transfer to their sons a masculine vision, which I think is absolutely essential in giving the son a North Star that he can eventually self-manage his life by. So I think one of the most essential things a dad does is model manhood, but then the second thing is he has to teach it. And to teach it, he's got to be able to summarize for his son what a man is verbally. I always tell men as I travel the country, you can't become what you can't define. So it's very important that there's a definition of masculinity that you both live out of, but also point your son to.
So what is it that's going on in society or our culture that prompted the need for such a book like this?
Well, American culture is really interesting. When we were an agrarian culture, I think there was a natural closeness between a father and son where a lot of the masculine traits that you'd want your son to grow up with were transferred just by being together all day. I think as we moved into the industrial age, especially as we moved through World War II and into a much more modern era, the separation from son and father has grown greater and greater. With the breakdown of the family, that's exacerbated that. But even in the best of homes, dad is not with his son modeling manhood as much. And the natural transitions that are often made in other cultures where masculinity is taught and also ceremonialized never caught on in America. And one of the reasons I wrote the book Modern Day Knight is to help dads recreate some rites of passage where they could both instruct their sons on what masculinity is, but have kind of measuring signpost ceremonies along the way to mark the son's movement to a masculinity that really is both biblical and both healthy. So, but that's just not an American culture naturally. So it's got to be intentionally created.
Well, you outline three concepts, and we're going to talk about all three, but you outline a will to obey, that a man must also have a work to do, and that a man must mm-hmm. also have a woman to love. And it seems like mm-hmm. here in America, we focus a lot on that second one, which is we have work to do, and
right.
and to the detriment of those other two, as in having someone, as in God our Father, to obey, and then having a woman to love. Why do you think that that's happened here in America, that work has become such a focus to the detriment of the family?
Well, men are naturally action figures, and what society honors is what men chase after. So masculinity in America today is basically defined, if you look at it from a young boy up, it's basically defined in terms of athleticism, sexual prowess, and success or power at work. And so those are the things that culture kind of shapes young men around. And that's the pressure they feel in the absence of dad. What dad has to do is enter into that. And the most important is to help point his son to Jesus Christ and to courageously obeying his word in a society that is constantly going cross-grain against that. So I really think that masculinity is multifaceted around those three things. So it has to be intentionally, as I said, intentionally taught. One of the things that we talk about in the definition of manhood, which is at the core, is masculinity is around a vision of accepting responsibilities and believing that God is going to reward those. And those three responsibilities are the ones that you just mentioned that are in the book, and that is there's got to be a word to obey. There's got to be a greater will than my own. And so one of the things that dad has to point his son to is the word of God. Then the second thing is, of course, a woman to love. And from the time a young boy is in the home, he should be modeling for his son how to love a woman by loving his wife. And then lastly, a work to do. But satisfying masculinity is when a man finishes his life and he looks on the dashboard of his masculine vision and he succeeded in all three of those. If he just succeeds in one, which typically men move to the workplace, then he has a lot of regrets. But the only way he's going to avoid those regrets is dad has got to mark those early in his son's life.
Well, we're talking to Robert Lewis today. Robert has written a book called Raising a Modern Day Knight, A Father's Role in Guiding His Son to Authentic Manhood. We're going to catch up with some of those ideas on exactly how to do what Robert has just explained, and we'll get back to that right after the break. We do have a few copies of Robert's book to give away. If you would like a copy of that, why don't you give us a call? We'd love to get a question or comment on the air. If you have one, give us a call at 877-93-FAITH. That's 877-933-2484, or you can also go to myfaithradio.com. You can click on Connecting Faith. You can submit your question or comment there, and we'll try to get that on the air as well. We'll be right back with Robert Lewis.
There's a place to grow in your faith and share hope with friends and family, with practical resources and insight for your daily life. And it's right at your fingertips. At MyFaithRadio.com, find the latest podcasts from Faith Radio's original programs. Encourage someone through prayer on PrayerWorks, or be challenged by the latest from our Faith Radio blogging team. It's just a small slice of what's available to you at MyFaithRadio.com. Log on today to find it's not just information, it's transformation.
To live by faith means to put God first. We at Faith Radio are committed to helping you grow deeper in your walk of faith. So we hope you'll boldly commit to live by faith by signing up to receive your Live by Faith wristband today. You can find it on our website at myfaithradio.com. That's myfaithradio.com. It is the Live by Faith wristband, and it's yours free for the asking. Again, myfaithradio.com.
Welcome back to Connecting Faith. Thanks so much for joining us today. We're talking about fathers and sons today and that wonderful influence that a father has an opportunity to have on his son by modeling what it truly means to be engaged in authentic manhood. And Robert, you've kind of been explaining that, what that means to be engaged in what God calls men to do and be in their family. I found it really interesting in reading your book that you write that men struggle with identity just as much or more than women do. So how does providing this definition of manhood kind of help men to find their identity?
Well, I think the key to masculinity is a vision. You know, it says in the scriptures, without a vision, the people run wild. That's no more true than with men, because men thrive on a masculine vision. Without it, they really just are in search of it, and oftentimes they hit a lot of dead ends. So the sooner a dad can impart a masculine vision to his son, the better. One of the things that I really encourage dads to do is, first of all, to discover a good biblical vision of manhood that they can buy into. That's what I try to present in the book, Modern Day Knight, a biblical vision, not just kind of a cultural vision, but one that's rooted in scripture about what a man is. And as I said, manhood is around responsibilities, key responsibilities that require courage to pursue, but also expecting God to deliver by rewarding the pursuit of those responsibilities. And so one of the very first things that I describe in the book, Raising a Modern Day Knight, is when your son is making that transition into being a teenager, to have the first of what I call the rite of passage ceremonies, where you do something fun with your son. You take him out to a nice dinner. You spend time just talking about life, that life's about to take some changes. But to tell your son, on this particular occasion, I have something really important to tell you. I'm going to tell you what it means to be a man. I did that with both my boys, and their ears perk up. The minute you mention manhood, young men, you can just see them lean forward. And so both my sons really wanted to know, well, what is a man? And therefore, on that particular occasion, I said, son, tonight I'm going to tell you what a man is. And from this point on, I'm going to hold you accountable to this definition. And I also want you to hold me accountable. This is how we're going to live our lives together. This is going to be kind of our North Star. And I believe if we achieve this definition of manhood, God will give us a meaningful and satisfying life, and one that makes a difference in the world. So that's where the identity is formed, around that definition. As I said, young men can't become what they can't define. And so I tell men all over the world, it's absolutely essential that you have a definition of manhood that you embrace personally and you can pass on to your sons and live by. And that's what Modern Day Knight describes, what that definition is.
Great words and definition from Robert. Hey, Robert, we have a caller who's calling
sure.
and has a question for you. Tim, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hey, what's your question for Robert?
Robert, my name is Tim Cummings, and we've actually used your men's fraternity series, all three of them, along with 33 right. of the series in our men's group. It's been a wonderful tool for us. And I have two questions. One, will there be a fourth in the men's fraternity series, or will we see further kind of development of that released through the 33 the series? And then my second question is, on your website, there is a 5-week training series that kind of comes after going through men's fraternity that's called Explore. And I am wondering if that is still something that's available, and if so, how could we get our hands on it?
Okay. Well, let me do the last one first. Explore can be purchased through Family Life, the Ministry Family Life, by going to familylife.org. So if you want to know more about that, use their website and take a look at it. As far as men's fraternity itself, there's a fifth 33 series being filmed right now. Those are 6-week, as you know, studies in masculinity, and the fifth one is right now in production. And then also, I'm working on a follow-up book for dads on teaching your son and teaching young men about what masculinity is all about, a short book more in the lines of Modern Day Knight that's real user-friendly. So those are things that are in the works presently.
Thanks so much for your question, Tim. And Robert, thanks for all those great resources. And so people can go to your website and it'll kind of direct them from there.
That's right.
And we have a link to Robert's website on our site. So if you go to myfaithradio.com and click on Connecting Faith, it should be able to guide you through there as well. Well, a lot of times in scripture, you mentioned that God is actually calling men, instructing men to do the things that you've mentioned in your book, to love their wives, to spiritually instruct their children, and responsibly lead in their homes. So is this still important today? Because you don't hear a lot about it.
Well, you don't, but you hear it a lot by me. In fact, you hear it over and over. I think those responsibilities are clearly demonstrated even in the very opening two chapters of Genesis, where God is creating the man and then charging him with responsibilities. And he charges him with a will to obey. He charges him with a woman to love. And he charges him with a work to do. And you see it right there in Scripture. You don't see anything else. You just see God charging the man with those responsibilities, but also with the promise that if he does those things, he's going to have freedom, life, and great adventure. Now, unfortunately, as you see in Genesis, the man chose to go his own independent way, which has been the curse of mankind ever since. But through Jesus Christ, we're able to reclaim that original calling, and that's what masculinity is all about. What I've tried to do is capture that in a user-friendly way that is rooted in Scripture, but would inspire men to follow that vision of masculinity, but also to empower dads to pass that vision of masculinity early on to their sons. Because if they do that, what happens is that will take root, and as I've found not only in my boys, but in many, many other men I've worked with, once that vision starts to grow, the son begins to embrace it and self-manage his own life by the definition that he's seen modeled and taught by his dad. And then that leads to a healthy masculinity. And even when that masculinity gets off course, there's a vision to pulling back to. The problem today with so many young men is they don't have that instruction by their dad, and so they spend the first half of their life guessing at what it means to be a man and grabbing at any definition that comes along through the media or through a secular society. And oftentimes, that's an exaggerated masculinity, it's a skewed masculinity, it's a flawed masculinity, it's a dead-end masculinity, or, as you said, Joe, it goes to just one-dimensional masculinity, which is work. And every one of those by midlife have regret to them. And so it starts with dad. And by the way, I want to say happy Father's Day to all the dads out there because they have such an incredible opportunity to shape a life. But it starts with clarity and vision. And if you don't have that, then I would really encourage the dads, whether it's my book or another resource, you have to be able to teach a vision, articulate a vision. Otherwise, even with the best dads, with no vision, sons leave home lost.
Mm. You know, a lot of fathers seem to just be a little trepidatious on how to train their son to obey God's will. How can you give some just helpful hints on how to get started on feeling confident in how to train your son?
Well, one of the things I try to help dads understand is so many of them have and again, I don't know if this is from the past, but a mistaken impression that to be spiritual as a dad means you've got to be some kind of formal teacher sitting down instructing your son or your daughter in the scriptures. And I feel like that has really intimidated a lot of men. What I try to encourage them is to instead have some concepts, spiritual concepts that they're confident in, and then just teach those as they live life. Because if they do that, that is more in keeping with what men are like anyway. As I said, men are action figures. They're doers. They want to experience life and then share it. And as long as they understand the basics of the Christian faith, what it means to know Jesus, what it means to be a Christian, what it means to be a man, how to love a woman, if a dad gave away those concepts just by living them out in front of their sons and then talking about them just in the dailiness of life, and those opportunities present themselves all the time, they will be a much greater spiritual father than they would have ever imagined. And their sons later will turn back to their dads. And this is the greatest thing of all. When Father's Day rolls around and your son is 25 or 30, like mine are, and they come back to bless you and thank you for how you've empowered them to succeed in life.
Mm. You know, I can second that as well. My mom is a wonderful teacher, was. She still is a wonderful teacher and taught us through Scripture what God's Word had to say. But my dad was so good at modeling those concepts. It's as if they worked together in order to shape and form what we knew to be true about God. And without
That
modeling, then we wouldn't have maybe been able to make that leap from, oh, this is what God's Word says, to, oh, this is what it means to be a man
right.
of character. And what a blessing that was to have them working together in that. And so I hope that people aren't intimidated, because what a great resource you can have with both your husband and or your wife to be able to both teach and model what it is that you're talking about.
And Joe, I might add to that, one of the reasons Modern Day Night has really stayed a bestseller, even though it was written back in 1996, is that I think it allows dads to see that they can teach masculinity in activities, whether it's taking trips, but most importantly, doing little ceremonies. And I give all the information a dad needs. And rather than intimidate a dad, what I've found is when they read the book, kind of like your husband, they get excited about, well, I could do that little ceremony. I could take my son to a campground with his grandfather or an uncle or whatever, and we could just ceremonialize the fact that he's becoming a teenager and we teach him the definition of manhood, or he's about to leave for college. And so we get some of the men in his life and do a ceremony and challenge him to step up and then lay our hands on him and pray over him, but then do some fun activities together and make that a ceremony, a rite of passage into the next step of manhood, going off on his own. I think Modern Day Night provides that action-oriented teaching through those kind of ceremonies that, at least what I've found over the years, dads grab onto and get excited about and look forward to doing rather than being intimidated by.
Mm. There are some great tools in the book Raising a Modern Day Knight, written by Robert Lewis, and it is about a father's role in guiding his son in and to authentic manhood. We do have a couple more copies to give away. If you're interested in getting one in your hands or maybe for a Father's Day gift, give us a call at 877-93-FAITH, 877-933-2484. We will be right back with Robert Lewis. Welcome back to Connecting Faith. Thanks so much for joining us today. I'm Joe Rathmanner, and today we're talking with Robert Lewis. He's authored a book called Raising a Modern Day Knight, A Father's Role in Guiding His Son to Authentic Manhood. We've been talking a little bit about ceremonies and how it's important to have these ceremonies at different points in a young boy's life so that he can know that he's actually becoming a man. Robert, I'd love to hear just some practical advice so that men do know that this doesn't have to be anything complicated, but that can be a rite of passage and is not easy to do, but can be done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it can be done and it can be fun doing it. The way we outlined, first of all, I got with two other dads and we decided that we would work together to do rite of passage ceremony. So having a couple other dads with you becomes really helpful because you kind of encourage and spur one another. But we basically came up with four rites of passage. One was when a son turned 13, one when a son turned 16. And the reason we chose 16 is because that's when he can get a driver's license and become independent. Then when he graduated from high school was the third rite of passage because then he was usually leaving home. And then the last one was graduating from college and going into the workplace because then he was going to become a self-sustaining adult. So we planned our ceremonies around those and did different things that are outlined in the book Modern Day Knight. But having those dads together, we had seven sons. And we started with each one having a focus point. As I mentioned a little earlier in the program, the very first one is just between the dad and his son where they share the definition of manhood. And again, you can do that as elaborate or as simple as you want. When we had the second rite of passage at 16, and again, this is where dads get real creative, but what I did was get about five of the significant men in my son's life, his coach, his youth director, and the two other dads and myself, and then a few of his best friends. And we had this elaborate dinner together, but unbeknownst to my son, each person wrote a half-page letter to my son on what they admired in him. And, you know, at 16, there's a lot of, you know, insecurity and those kind of things. And so at the end of our dinner together, each of the men stood up and read that half page, which tended to all be the kind of the same traits. And so it really reinforced how special my son was in those particular ways. And then at the end of that time, I stood up, read mine about why I love my son, and then told him at the end the three things that I think every boy needs to hear from his dad over and over again. In fact, when you look in the scriptures, it's the three things Jesus needed to hear from his heavenly father when his father spoke audibly to him, and that is, I love you, I'm proud of you, and here's what you're good at. And so here I am in a restaurant, I stand up, I say my piece, and at the end I just remind my son, I'll always love you, I'm proud of you, and here are three things that you're really good at. And I read those three things to him, and boy, it's just life-giving to a son. And see, It was a very simple thing. At dinner, guys were prepared to do that half-page little reading to my son. It reinforced those character traits that he was really good at. It encouraged him in his self-worth and identity. And then Dad made a public proclamation like the father to the son in the scriptures of his love, his pride for him and what he was good at. And then at the end of that time, then I handed my son the car keys. Mm. And I said, you can drive your friends home. And so he left in the car. So that's just a good illustration of just one ceremony that then becomes a milestone and also becomes a great memory maker. And those are the kind of things dads can do. And some go way above what I just said and do special outings like into the mountains or a special vacation kind of thing or something like that. But those become signposts to a son guiding him to this authentic manhood that dad introduced him to when he was 13.
You mentioned the importance of having other men in your son's life and speaking into your son's life. How do you kind of procure that type of relationship so that they are having men besides you who are speaking into their lives?
Well, you look around for men who you're close to and who have other sons. One of the things that I encourage is we have a Raising Modern Day Night video series, and I encourage churches to get some dads together and just go through that to draw the dads who really want to raise their sons in authentic manhood. And then out of that group, the last charge is to get a dad, another dad, or several dads who would want to raise their sons together, who have the same values, the same interest in building these ceremonies into their sons' lives, and who want to embrace this definition of masculinity that they get introduced to. So that's the way to find these dads. And it's not like you're meeting all the time, but you do occasionally go on outings together, and then you do ceremonies together. I mean, between us, we had, as I said, seven sons. About 4 years ago, I did the 28th ceremony because we did all seven sons, four ceremonies each. We did 28 ceremonies. But the good news is all those sons now are married. All are gainfully employed. All are believers in Jesus Christ. All have married Christian women. And we've seen this vision that we imparted when they were grade school. We've seen that not only take root through those formative years, but now we see those guys living out their own faith. And we've got two sons that we started ceremonies with our grandsons now. So it becomes an adventure that dads love. They just need the information to ignite that vision that I think is within every dad.
Well, in fact, you write in your book, you go as far to say that the quality of a man's marriage can actually be attributed to his father's tutelage or lack thereof earlier
Absolutely.
In life. Explain
Absolutely.
More about that.
Well, the two things is if dad is online to share that definition of masculinity and one is a woman to love, then he's going to feel the responsibility of modeling loving a woman well to his son, because that's teaching the son how to love a woman. And the best way to teach a son how to love a woman is to love your wife and then instruct the son verbally off of things you do, like writing her little notes or giving her your wife special surprises at anniversaries or special love notes, or talking to him about what mom really, really gets inspired by when you clean the dishes after supper, or you take her on a special trip, or those kind of things. So I think all of that, when dad knows for himself what the definition is, and he knows loving his wife is going to help his son love his future bride, then it becomes a self-fulfilling kind of prophecy. Not only does the dad feel greater responsibility, but he's teaching the son and modeling it. And when that happens, normally a son grows up with a healthy view of women, a healthy way to love women, and then lives it out when he finally finds his woman.
Mm.
You know, it's funny, when my husband was going through the men's fraternity for the first time, I used to say, I love Friday morning at 8:30, because he always called me and told me something very nice. From whatever they discussed, it was just it was a real turning point. In men's fraternity, you do devote a session. Maybe it's a significant amount of sessions. I'm not sure, because I haven't gone through it. But to that biblical imperative of caring for your wife, why is it so important for men to hear this?
Well, most men know they're supposed to care for their wife, but a lot of men have never heard that that's part of being a man. And again, I go back to this vision, Joe, I can't say it enough. When a man understands it, that being a man is loving a woman well, it's interesting how that inspires men. I think they just have never heard that. It's kind of like that's you're supposed to be married, but no one's put that in the context of that's masculinity. And that's as important as having a good-paying job, the same way of being able to be a standard bearer with God's word is as masculine as having a job. When men get a definition that makes sense to them and it inspires them like a North Star, and they can talk to their other friends about that definition, it becomes a manhood language where they can challenge their friends about, you need to step up to being a man, but can also not just say step up to be a man, but then specifically say, you're not a standard bearer in your home. You're not loving your wife well, or you're not loving your kids well. That's being a man, Joe. You know, if you can articulate it, then oftentimes you can better live that vision out. But if you can't articulate it and don't know what it is, as I keep saying, you cannot become what you cannot define.
Well, and you write that the conventional model of manhood that we hear through culture is just somehow incomplete. And it's nice to be able to actually put a word or put a definition to it, because perhaps people don't really know what it is that is making it incomplete. They just know that it's incomplete. And so you're kind of filling in the blanks so that
that's
it's
right.
very understandable and able to follow. Well, Robert, we have to take a quick break, but when we come back, I would love if you would address just fathers who might be listening today and think, man, I have blown it. I have not done what I should be doing, because there is still time and there are still things that can be done. I'd love if you would just speak some wisdom to those fathers as well. We're talking to Robert Lewis today. He's written a book called Raising a Modern Day Knight, A Father's Role in Guiding His Son to Authentic Manhood. I think we have one copy left. If you want to get that in your hands, I'd love to do that for you. Give us a call at 877-933-2484, 877-933-FAITH, or go to myfaithradio.com. You can click on Connecting Faith. And if you have a question or comment, or want to get a hold of that book, you can submit that right there. We will be right back with Robert Lewis in just a minute.
Hi, I'm Don Rupp here at the Faith Radio Network.
On behalf of all of us at Northwestern Media and Faith Radio, thank you, Don, for your faithfulness to Christ and this ministry.
I think I've written and reported over 21,000 faith stories.
Thanks for 44 years of faithful service.
Dear Don, you've lasted long and you've finished strong. Congratulations on your retirement, and we will miss you here at Faith Radio.
May God's good news be yours. I'm Don Rupp.
Maybe you've heard that Faith Radio's on Twitter. It's an increasingly popular way to stay connected to your friends and your interests online and on your phone. It's simple and easy. It sends you short updates on the latest from your favorite Faith Radio teachers, original shows, and events. What about giving it a try today? Just search for My Faith Radio on Twitter or head to twitter.com/myfaithradio to follow us today.
Welcome back to Connecting Faith. Thanks so much for joining us today. It is Father's Day weekend. They get a whole weekend now. Did you know that? It's like when it's your birthday. It's like, it's my birthday week. take me out for lunch. No, it's Father's Day, of course, on Sunday, but we've started to celebrate early, and we are discussing a dad's ability to influence his son, of course, in a very positive way. We're talking to Robert Lewis today about his book, Raising a Modern Day Knight, A Father's Role in Guiding His Son to Authentic Manhood. And it's just been a great conversation with lots of tips and love your concepts about ceremonies and just making it count for young boys who are moving into that next phase of their life, Robert. In your last chapter, you write, a word to dads who think they blew it. And I would love to just spend a little bit of time encouraging those who might think it's too late. What's your advice for them?
Well, first of all, I'd say it's never too late. That would be the main overarching principle. It's never too late because a lot of dads have blown it. They weren't there during their son's formative years because they threw their whole life into a job, or maybe they threw a tragic divorce where they left home and the son was somehow left behind, and now dad is at another place in life and he's feeling the regret of that. I have dads talk to me all the time who either read the book or go through Mr. Kearney, go, you know, I wish I had heard this 30 years ago. I would have given anything. I just didn't have that perspective, and I've blown it. And I go, you know, first of all, it's good to admit you've blown it, but that doesn't mean you have to stay in that condition. The key to understanding the father-son relationship is to know that a son's heart is always turned towards his dad. He wants his dad's love and affirmation. Even in the worst of circumstances where there's been unbelievable hurt and unbelievable abandonment, and is waiting, but he's not going to give in to his dad as long as his dad tries to make excuses. So the first thing I always tell dads that they've blown it is it's okay to realize you've made a big mistake. It's not okay to use that as an excuse to stay away from your son. The first step back is just simply to say, I'm sorry. That will melt any son's heart if you'll just take ownership for the mistakes you've made. And when you do that, in most cases, a son will open his heart back up and is desperate to be reunited to his dad because the son desperately wants that connection. And I always tell dads, after they've done that, after they've said, I'm sorry, I left your mom, that was wrong to do, just take ownership of that and then bless the son. And again, I go back to that little prescription that's there in the scripture that Jesus desperately needed from his father, and that is to hear the words that every son longs to hear. I call it the blessing, and that is to say to your son face to face, son, I love you. Boy, every son wants to know that dad loves him. And secondly, I'm proud of you. And then thirdly, tell me something you didn't know about me. And so give him some things that that you might have wanted to tell him about what he did in getting married or what job he had or what he's good at, how smart he is or whatever. But every son longs to hear from his dad, I love you. I'm proud of you. You're good at it. But for dads who've blown it, the path, the bridge to get to that, being able to bless your son, is the words, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? And he'll oftentimes find his son, even in really dire circumstances, willing to forgive if dad will own the trouble he created in his son's life.
Well, and you spend some time talking about the importance of kind of helping your child discover his inner design, what it is that he's good at, so that when you make those affirmations, there is some real punch to them because you are affirming who that son is and what his gifts would dictate that he may become. And so talk a little bit about how can dads discover what really makes their kids tick? And I'm guessing it will have something to do with just spending time with them. But can you give some helpful information there?
Well, there's both just the observation of what the son's interests are and the character traits of the son. I think the easiest thing to recognize early on in your son, I know I was able to do this with my boys, is just things that their character traits, things that they do well. They might be a loyal friend, or maybe they are real creative. I think praising them for certain character traits that emerge, maybe it's through school or maybe through sports or maybe it's through his friends. I think if you admire their character traits and their achievements there, that's the beginning point. I think the other is that's what we do at the ceremony at 16, is we let others speak in to their son's life about what they admire. And when you begin to hear common traits, those are usually things that are good signposts to the sons, both character traits and where his interests are, that affirm him that the dad, even if he's real different than his dad values those things. And sometimes with dads who have sons that are really different, they're more like mom than dad, just the fact that dad would say, "I admire you for those things," gives the son value. And of course, the last thing that you can do, this is a little bit more sophisticated, is as the son gets into his teenage years, you know, there are all kinds of, and we've done this with our boys, there are all kinds of testing mechanisms, aptitude testing and that kind of thing, that provide objective information for your son or daughter about the things that they have special abilities in. And we did that for hours, and it was helpful to us. It gave us some additional insights into our boys' life that allowed us to, again, encourage them, affirm them, and direct them.
Well, that is some great advice. You know, we have a lot of women who are listening today as well. And short of getting the book or giving them the podcast and saying to their husbands, you need to listen to this, what is a way that a wife can support her husband in undertaking some of these ideas we've talked about today?
Well, probably one of the biggest, and this will sting a little bit, is that as your boy begins to be a teenager, mom's got to back off a little bit. There's a tendency for mom to step into the son's life in his teenage years and begin to cover for dad if dad's not that involved, and to begin to, what I call, overlove their son and taking care of things that the son needs to step into as well. So I think the best thing mom can do is have a good talk with dad about, you know, encouraging him to spend time with his son and that kind of thing, and then not covering for a young man growing up in kind of taking care of his irresponsibilities, covering for him at school and that kind of thing, helping him step up and know what those responsibilities are. I think even if the mom verbalizes, "This is your responsibility, you need to do this," rather than, "I'll cover for you when you didn't do it." So I just say for mom, be careful that you don't overlove your son during the teenage years, and then have a good talk with dad and tell the dad it's time to step into the son's life and affirm him and love him and teach him what it means to be a man. And if she has the opportunity and he doesn't know the resource, recommend a resource like Modern Day Night.
Okay. Well, one of the best things I ever did with my son when he was in fifth grade is I stopped bringing things to school that he forgot.
There you go. That's exactly what I'm talking about.
And he's so responsible now. So, yes, it was a good move. I'm sure that you or someone gave me that advice. But, yes, it's good to not mother all of the time as they get a little older. Say, I have a caller who actually emailed it or asked a question. They don't want to be on the air, but I do want to ask the question. It's very valid. It says, "How can I encourage my stepson and set a model as his godly stepmother? His birth mother abandoned him, and he was a teenager by the time I married his father. He's having trouble connecting with women and knowing how to treat them. How can I encourage him as a mother figure?"
Well, that's a good question. Sometimes there's damage there that you got to be real careful with. And it's on and be just size answer. It may be homework, maybe to talk to a pastor or therapist about that. But I think modeling your life and loving him unconditionally is the most important thing. I do think that the dad is critical in that. because how he treats you as a wife and how he steps into the son's life.
So it does sound a little bit like it needs to be a partnership.
Mom can't cover. Again, she may, it's the very thing we just talked about a moment. You know, wanting to make up the gap here, and I'd go, relax, you can't do that. A mom can't make a son a man. Only a man can.
That's some great advice. I hope you're listening. You got that advice, the caller who just called in. Well, you also write just some practical key moves for presenting this code of conduct that I thought was really interesting. This code of conduct, can you just kind of explain briefly what that is?
Well, the code of conduct that's listed there is just a number of character traits that you would want your son to leave home with. One of the things I think, again, a lot of this is just articulating and bringing into consciousness what you're trying to achieve. And one of the best parenting moves you can do is to think of your son leaving home at 18 and then ask the question, what kind of character do you want him to leave home with? If you can articulate those and write them down, I'm not talking about some sophisticated document, that you just want him to be a loyal friend, or you want him to be a person who finishes tasks, or you want him to be a good student. If you can, you know, an honorable Christian guy who understands what it means to follow Jesus Christ, if you can write those things down and say, that's what I'm going to be inspiring in my son all through his formative years, then that's the code of conduct. That's the code of conduct. But it's specific. You've articulated, you've identified what you want to build into your son, and then you do activities and comments, and you honor him when he does some of those things all through those years he's growing up under your shade before he leaves into the sunlight of adulthood. That's what a code of conduct should be doing. It's an articulated direction statement.
Well, and it takes quite a bit of intentionality as a parent.
That's
to
right.
Go back and to look at those things. I mean, I have some things scribbled on a yellow piece of paper that I have just in my prayer journal of what I hope for my son as he grows. And to be able to look back at those each day and pray over those things, it
That's
helps
right.
keep me accountable because I want those things to happen for him.
That's what bringing him to consciousness does, both the code of conduct, and that's why the definition of manhood is so important. Because if you've got it and you've memorized it, you'll come back to it again and again and again because you know it's rooted in Scripture. You know that's what God is calling you to do. And if a dad is one leading that charge to become that kind of man, in most cases, a young son will grow up and become that kind of man. That's the good news.
Robert, thanks so much for sharing a lot of good news for us today. What a great way to honor fathers on this Father's Day weekend. We thank you so much for all your information. And if
you
are, absolutely, if you're listening today, you want some more resources from Robert Lewis, you can go to our website at myfaithradio.com, and there's a link there. And also pick up a copy of Raising a Modern Day Knight, A Father's Role for Guiding His Son in Authentic Manhood. Great conversation today. We thank you so much for listening to Connecting Faith. Have a wonderful weekend.